Hey, this is Rob Harder with Making Your World Better, a nonprofit leadership show where real stories from real people who are coming up with real solutions to solve society's biggest challenges. What does it take to be an effective nonprofit leader today? How do people fundraise in an economy that is constantly in flux? How do you relate to board members in a way that inspires them to make a difference? What are the best practices that separate effective nonprofits from others? It is my hope that through these episodes, people can learn not only what it takes to be an effective nonprofit organization, but to hear real stories from real leaders who are successfully making a positive impact in their communities. We hope you enjoy this series as together we hear how they're making their world better. Guest is Jay Carter, video storyteller, producer, and advocate for nonprofits based out of Portland, Oregon. And Jay's going to talk all about how to tell your story effectively as a nonprofit organization and as a nonprofit leader. He talks about the cacophony of all kinds of noises and videos and all the different commercials that are out there through social media and media in general. And how is it that nonprofits can rise above that to make sure your story is getting through? And one of the things he's going to ask you and make you analyze, if you will, is if your social media posts are more commercial-based or truly story-based. And he feels like if you're telling a story, people will listen. If you're giving a commercial, people are going to tune it out. So how do you make sure you're doing that well? I also ask him about the millennial generation and if nonprofits should change the way they do social media based on reaching the millennial generation. And he has a very interesting take on that. So I think as you listen to this podcast, you're going to hear a lot of new things and a lot of questions that will make you really reflect on how you're using social media and if you're using it most effectively, again, to tell your story for your organization and for your nonprofit. I think you're going to enjoy today's show. Today's guest is Jay Carter. He's a video storyteller, producer, and advocate for nonprofits, and he's based out of Portland, Oregon, although he's calling today from Texas. Jay, it's great to have you on the show today.
Hey, Rob, good to be here. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Well, you do a lot of different things and provide a lot of tools for nonprofits, and I want to dive right into that today. First of all, though, tell us a little bit about yourself and how specifically you got involved serving in and leading with the nonprofit sector.
Well, you know, it was a circuitous path, and I'll try to make it as brief as I possibly can. But, you know, I started out in television news. I was a TV news guy in Austin, Texas, as a matter of fact, which is where I met my wife. I was an on-camera reporter. She was a behind-the-scenes producer type. And, you know, we went off and diverged into different businesses. But as the years went by and we were out of that business, we found that we really missed doing video storytelling. But that was just in our blood. It was in our DNA. We really wanted to tell, you know, stories, video stories, and particularly documentary-style stories. So what happened was we were living at the time in northwest Louisiana, a town called Shreveport. This is up in the northwest corner of the state. In 30 minutes, you can drive to either Arkansas or Texas. But if you want to go to New Orleans, it's like a 5 or 6 hour drive. I mean, we're talking far northwest Louisiana. We decided to start a business called Beyond Measure Media. And so we decided, okay, we're going to do documentary stories. Well, where are the stories? You know, who are the champions? Who are the ordinary people doing the extraordinary? And of course, we quickly discovered that nonprofits, the nonprofit sector, are where these stories really are. And so we set out to start telling those stories of, you know, who are the people behind a particular nonprofit and why they do what they do. We've kind of stumbled into this, but what we quickly learned, our business took off like a rocket. I mean, we were going like wildfire. People started noticing what we were doing, and we had nonprofits calling us to tell their stories just over and over and over again. It was amazing the response we got, and I think it was two reasons that sort of took off. The first thing was that donors were watching, and donors started getting clear and more excited about a particular nonprofit. I'll give you an example. We would have donors who would I was speaking to a group of nonprofits in Louisiana, asking them, how many people in this room are getting donations from people, but yet these people have no idea what your organization even does, or they don't even understand the full story of what your nonprofit is all about. Just about every hand in the room went up. And what that told me is that there are a lot of communities that have generous donors. Maybe they have a particular issue they care about, or maybe they just have somebody within that organization that they, you know, that they feel particularly close to, and so they're willing to give. But so many people didn't even get what the nonprofit was. So we were using video to clear that up and to tell stories that would get them excited. But then the other thing we were doing differently, Rob, is we were including what I call real moments of humanity. And this is something that a lot of this wasn't really seen a lot up there in the Shreveport, Louisiana area. You've got video production companies that are led by people who really want to be doing films, or they really want to be doing music videos. You can kind of tell when you're working with these guys, that's where their passion is. But we were coming in and we were just capturing these everyday moments of grace, just everyday moments of humanity that's happening within nonprofits. So I'll just give you an example. You know, we were doing our first film was on a little after school program, for at-risk youth in, kind of a rough neighborhood there in Shreveport. And it was started by these Catholic nuns. So you have these Catholic nuns, they're like in the full habit. I mean, totally dressed from head to toe. And they're out there with like shears and they're like pruning plants and digging flower beds. And then you have all of these little kids from the neighborhood that are running. They're just fascinated by these nuns. So our cameras were rolling during this one moment when the kid walks up to the nun. He says, "Where are you from? You have a funny way of, your accent sounds kind of funny. Where are you from?" And she says, "I will let you guess." She starts tying the kid's shoe. "Guess where I am from." And the kid says, "England?" She says, "No." And she kisses him on top of the head and she says, "I am from Italy." And this little kid from the neighborhood in Shreveport, Louisiana, looked up at her and says, "I love Italy." You know, mm-hmm. It's just these moments of humanity that happen within these connections that are being made between human beings and these organizations. And so we were capturing that and we were weaving that into the broader story of these nonprofits and what they're all about. So that was the first, that was what we were, I think that was why our product was kind of catching on. But as our video business took off, Rob.
Yeah. So let me ask you then, this is great. It sounds like you really captured this idea that what nonprofits needed to do was tell their story better. And you were capturing it for them. So talk about that process. Like how did you expand from there and help other nonprofit leaders realize this is critical to your mission accomplishment?
Well, this was the thing, because what we had found before was that a lot of nonprofits, you know, they thought that they needed to do a commercial if they were going to do video at all. There's a lot of nonprofits that still to this day are not really doing any kind of video material. But when they do, they feel like it needs to be very carefully scripted. And that's really the most unfortunate thing that we find in a lot of organizations. They feel like they need to be very, very scripted, very, very staged. And, you know, people can feel that. We're all of us, Rob, are walking around with these iron helmets on, okay? I call them filters. And we have a lot of rubber bullets coming at us in the form of crass commercial messages that are coming through on television, radio. And now they're on the devices that we are most intimate with, which is our smartphones, and we're sitting there looking at our email or reading through social media, and even then we have more of those rubber bullets being fired at us. And it's gotten to a point, I believe, where these messages just bounce right off of us. We either don't even notice them anymore, or we've gotten very, very good at shutting them off before they can even reach us. And so what I'm telling my nonprofit organizations are, you have amazing people, you have amazing works, you're doing amazing things. You need to do it in a way that is vulnerable and that is real, and where you are telling the story from the most personal perspective that you possibly can, because that's the material that is reaching through in this very noisy media landscape.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I would ask, speaking of that, I think you're right in terms of we're getting bombarded every day. And I think social media has added to that bombardment, if you will. Talk about social media. Now, that's something that a lot of nonprofits use, or some who have not, they want to use better or more effectively. It does seem like social media is something that we're all fixated on. How can nonprofits harness the positive impact of social media? And like you say, not just be part of the noise, if you will, where people are ignoring their message.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, I come from this video, news, documentary, storytelling background, right? I mean, what do I know about social media? What happened as I was doing this material, as I was putting this together for clients, is we found that our clients, they loved what we were doing. They love our little mini documentaries and what we're doing, but they started asking us to reformat our video material for social media. And that is, I would say, where our social media education, you know, began and still continues to this day. So the number one thing, you know, I work with a lot of nonprofits and I see a lot of social media accounts, and some are better than others. And what I have learned is that the best accounts out there are stories where are accounts that are telling stories. I mean, social media is a medium of storytelling. And what happens is a lot of nonprofits, they look at social media as a distribution channel for their commercials. You know, they look at it as a distribution channel for their fundraising. And that's not what social media is. It is a medium of connection. And you do that through storytelling. So what I tell people, you know, first of all, don't try to tell the story of your organization. Just tell a story. And sometimes that can be just a photograph, and a picture tells, you know, they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. You can do that through video content, but you've got to be as personal as possible, because a lot of people don't realize that, you know, nonprofits are personal. People who give to nonprofits usually give from a very personal place. And so as a nonprofit, you have to get personal. You have to get vulnerable. And you know, I'll say it this way. The worst thing that you can do is turn your social media account over to a marketing person. Because just like birds are going to chirp, you know, fish are going to swim, marketing people are going to market. They're going to turn it into a commercial. And what social media has to be is it's got to be a two-way street. You've got to be connecting and talking to people and finding every opportunity you can to talk to your tribe.
Right. A tribe is obviously, yeah, the kind of the new term now. So talk about it for the listening audience. Give us an example of the difference between using social media for marketing and commercials, if you will, and telling a story. Like, give an example of what is it? How does the video look differently? What does the post have to have that to make sure it's not a commercial?
So you talk to your tribe. And so, you know, when I was saying it, you know, tribe is kind of an interesting word that I think about a lot, because a lot of people don't even understand how big their tribe really is. I talk to a lot of nonprofits, particularly people that have smaller nonprofits, and they don't think they have a tribe. And I say, hey, wait a minute, open your eyes, let's look around here. Who is your tribe? So you got to talk to these guys who are in your tribe to be effective. And so, you know, your tribe is not just your supporters, it's not just your donors. You know, it's also your volunteers, it's your staff, it's the guy who does your videos. I've been included in the tribe of my clients, which has been amazing. It's your staff, it's your recipients. Your recipients are in your tribe and should be included in the conversation. And that's also something that a lot of nonprofits hadn't thought of. Family, associates, citizens of your town, everybody is in your tribe. And so you get personal, you get vulnerable, and you talk to those people. And the number one thing that you do that I see is not happening enough is the people who lead nonprofit organizations, particularly the ones that are nearest and dearest to my heart, which are what I call kitchen table nonprofits. These are small nonprofits that somebody started with an entrepreneurial spirit. You know, I'm going to start this nonprofit. I'm going to roll up my sleeve. I'm going to do something. These are the people who have the stories that need to be told more urgently, more importantly than any story that you can tell about the need or the recipients. I want to know about you. Why did you start this? What was going on in your life that made you want to start this nonprofit? What was it that was whispering in your soul? What is it that you feel and what do you experience when you carry out your nonprofit's mission? Too many nonprofits are not telling the story. They're hiding. They're hiding behind a logo. They're hiding behind a 501c3 status and charter of, you know, they're hiding behind the need and the community of who they're helping. But I want to hear from the people who are helping, because Rob, as a donor, those are the people who I relate to the most. That's the number one thing that I think nonprofits are missing. Who are the helpers? Who is it that's going to be carrying out these works when I give the donation? In what spirit are they going to be carrying these works out? How and why and what is going to be guiding them to carry this out? That's what I want to hear. The need is an obvious thing. The recipients, that's obvious. But who's helping and why? That fascinates me.
So you, this is good. So you want to get behind or away from just here's the next event, here's the next program, to this is why I'm doing this. This is the motivation. This is the heart behind it. Here's my story. So you feel like when people lean more into that, that really resonates with people. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And don't be afraid to be lengthy about it. You know, some people say, oh, people don't have an attention span. They don't want to see a long video. They don't want to read a long social media post that really delves into who a person is and why they're there in that organization. Rob, do you know who reads that long stuff? Do you know who watches those long videos? Donors. Donors watch that stuff. So everybody thinks everything needs to be short. Everybody thinks everything needs to be, you know, curated for an audience that has the attention span of a fire ant. And it's true, they do have the attention span of a fire ant, but those are not the people that you're talking to. If they come in the tribe, great. But we want to be talking to repeat donors. We want to be talking to your tribe, to the people who are going to constantly be engaging with your organization, helping you get the word out. And that's where long posts that really get into that vulnerability, that speaking the message from your soul of why you're here and why you're doing this, that's the most compelling thing that you can put out there.
Okay, so if someone's listening and they're like, okay, I want to do this. I hear what Jay's saying. I agree with it. Help me get started. What are the first couple of steps if, say, they've got a Facebook page that they really don't use it very well? They have a Twitter account, but they really don't tweet very much. They have an Instagram account, but they don't really post many pictures consistently. Give us some steps. What would you recommend a nonprofit leader or a board member or volunteer who's in charge of this? What are the first few steps that they take to really start moving towards this story-driven social media campaign?
Well, that's the $25,000 question, right? I mean, you know, it's easy to get on social media. You know, you can be sitting in your jammies at 2 a.m. and decide you're going to get on Facebook and start these social media accounts. And, you know, by 2:05, you now are officially on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and all that. But the question is, what are you going to do with it, right? So what it comes down to is consistency. It comes down to storytelling. And you have to There are really two things you have to do. First, you got to democratize the process. If you know that you, as a leader of an organization, maybe you're an executive director, if you know that that isn't your thing, that you aren't going to keep up with that, you're not going to be consistent with that, which is absolutely required in the world of social media. You have to, it is a beast that needs to be fed on a regular basis. You have to do it. So we got to look around and we got to go, well, who are the storytellers in my orbit? If it's not going to be me, is there a person who works within my organization? Is there a volunteer? Is there someone who sees what I see, who hears what I hear, and who can translate these stories up? You know, some people hire social media marketing coordinators. Most people are out there. And I suppose that that's better than nothing. If you're not going to keep up with that, then by all means, find a way to, you know, get a budget together to pay someone to do that on a regular basis. But also allow and invite the entire organization from the top down to contribute to the effort, to get their smartphones out, to tell their stories. What are they seeing? What's going on from their perspective? Anything that you hear in a board meeting, anything you hear in a staff meeting that happened that really just was remarkable, that made everybody sort of go, wow, really, that needs to be in your social media account. We need to hear these stories. We need to hear about these things. So it just takes really, Rob, the best answer I can come up with is it comes down to habit. It comes down to the habit of recognizing those stories when you hear them and having an apparatus, a team or someone in place to make sure that gets spelled out within your social media on a regular basis.
So it sounds like you're saying, number one, you would get someone assigned on your team to be, that's their job, they're responsible for doing this. But at the same time, that person is really culling stories from board members, from donors, of course, from staff members, from people that they actually have served. So it seems like that person is a story gatherer, if you will, right? And then how do they decide which stories to promote? How often? Like, let's get real practical, like every week, once a day? How should we start posting these things? Is it always video? Is it a picture with some great words? Talk about that a little bit more, the mechanics of laying that out in a given week, say.
Well, the answer to the question is all of the above and as often in a day as possible. I mean, you know, you do what you can do. More is better. And different social media accounts sort of act in different ways. For instance, if you have a Twitter account, you can take Twitter posts and you can sort of recycle some of that content on a regular basis to maybe run 3, 4, 5, 6 times a month of the same post, because it's just going to get buried under everything else and there's a chance that, you know, not everyone's going to see it. With Instagram and Facebook, on the other hand, they need to be, you know, pretty original each time. And, you know, video is something that trips up a lot of people, but I tell them you need to include as much video as possible. It does not have to be slick, professional, made by a guy like me. It can be a little video clip of a kid who's out there enjoying an event, or it could be, you know, someone in the hallway who just witnessed something, and you roll your little video smartphone and just capture this little moment of them just saying, wow, I can't believe this thing that happened. So it's a visual medium first and foremost. So, you know, words are great, but let's see some images. Pictures are great. Video is better. Video clips, everything that you can possibly pull together. And again, I know that, you know, you have a lot of nonprofit leaders that are listening to me say this, and they just say, oh, good God, how am I going to do that? And it really comes down to, you know, Rob, the biggest barriers to this are the ones that we put around ourselves. There are rules that we tell ourselves we have to follow, you know, and it's sort of this barrier that we put up where we don't want to give out too much of ourselves, too much of our lives to what we perceive should be a professional nonprofit social media account. And again, nonprofits are personal because donors give for personal reasons. So my question to you is this: why can you not fold the story of your own life into the everyday narrative flow of your nonprofit? So there's a couple of ways that could look like. You know, you could be personal, your own personal story, your own family situation that relates to the mission of your nonprofit. But if you don't have that situation, stories that you come across and within your nonprofit, people you meet, experiences that you have, and how those experiences make you feel, how you react, how you respond when you see these things. You have to get personal, because that is the content. And I even hate to call it content because that sounds so crass. It sounds like I'm a LA, you know, Hollywood guy having a meeting. Hey, we're going to have the content. Yeah. But that's what it is. It's personal material from your own life that you're allowing to spill out. And when you do that, you're going to notice reciprocity.
So I think people that are, say, smaller nonprofits that are listening to this are going to be encouraged. So you don't think we have to get somebody who's very high tech, or have to pay somebody who's, you know, very qualified. In other words, an individual who has a story and who can do a little bit of social media and a little bit of video, in your mind, is sufficient. In other words, it's the story behind it more than the quality that they're providing. Is that what you have found to be true?
That's right. And it is all around you if you listen for it and if you think in terms of storytelling. I mean, it really goes back to our DNA as human beings, Rob. You know, we go back to our caveman days where we all sat around the campfire and we told a story to one another. It really is as simple as that, because we just want to relate to one another. We want to share stories. I mean, that is really what I think our the purpose of our life is to share human knowledge and to be there for one another. So, you know, keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, pay attention to what people are emailing you, pay attention to stories that you're hearing, and also pay attention to moments when you really see people react to something. If they're hearing a certain kind of story within your organization that really seems to just capture people's imagination, that's probably, you know, a good descriptor, probably a good, you know, arrow pointing to where, you know, the direction that you need to go here.
So let's throw millennials into this. Millennials is this next generation. We've had a lot of different guests on this show talk about what they're trying to do with their nonprofit to reach the millennial generation. Obviously, they've were raised with social media, so this is second nature for them. Are you seeing trends where nonprofits are completely changing the way they communicate because of millennials? Or if not, do you feel like nonprofits should move that direction in order to be effective and relevant to the next generation?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I myself am part of Generation X. I'm about to turn 41 this month, and I'm paying attention to millennials and what they're doing. I'm as an older person, older than that generation, I sort of look at it with sort of questioning eyes, wondering, well, are they giving? Are these the people that we need to be worried about? Are these the folks that we need to be targeting? And I guess, you know, eventually they are going to be the leaders and the givers of tomorrow, if they're not already. And the one thing that I can tell you about millennials, and this is happening with my generation as well, is they're not watching TV anymore. I mean, they're not paying attention to the old media avenues that are out there. They are living on social media. This is where they are. But I think that, you know, at the same time, my 82-year-old grandfather just got a Facebook account not too long ago. And the bottom line is, I think everybody of any generation is gravitating toward the social media realm. And the rules apply. I don't care what the target audience is. I don't care what age group you're talking about. We all want to hear stories. We know fake and slick when we see it. We are immune to that. We instantly turn that off. But when we have someone who is describing the need or the mission of a nonprofit in a meaningful, personal way, you know, telling these stories of redemption, telling these stories of hope, the hero's journey of someone that goes through a nonprofit, they're better off for it. That is universal, and those are the stories that need to be told, no matter what the age group.
So it sounds like storytelling and the power of story transcends any generation in your mind.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the key elements to it really with storytelling, it's simplicity, you know, it's clarity. You know, a lot of us are working in the trenches of nonprofits, and we get really tied up in things like statistics and all kinds of wonky information. And we have to take a step back, take a deep breath and say, how can I simplify and clarify the stories that I'm telling about my nonprofit? Funny is a good thing to throw in there. Funny works. Funny sort of, you know, helps people relate to you even more. So if you have moments of humor, don't be afraid to include that. But, you know, it comes down to relatability. Are you like me? Are you someone that I can relate to? Are you someone who thinks like me? Are you someone who shares my values? You have to answer those questions. And that is really, really important, that you are relatable and that you're effective. So you're going to make sure that in almost every possible post you put out there, you include some sort of proof that my donation really did make a difference. That's how you keep the conversation going forward.
Well, Jay, thank you. You've given us a lot to listen to reflect on, and a lot of tools and ideas of what we can do to really, again, tell the story of our nonprofits much better. Again, our guest has been Jay Carter, a video storyteller, producer, and advocate for nonprofits. He's based out of Portland, Oregon. Jay, if they listen to this podcast and they want to know more about you, your organization, where do you send them?
Well, I am, you can find me at my website, which is beyondmeasuremedia.com. And I've got the same social media username across Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's as simple as this. It's Jay Carter Video. And that's where you can find me on social media.
Great. Jay, thanks so much again for your time. Really appreciate what you're doing to help nonprofits tell their story. So thanks for all you do.
Thank you, Rob. It was a pleasure.
I wanted to let you know that we are on iTunes. If you are wondering how to find out where we are, check us out on iTunes by typing Nonprofit Leadership Podcast or Rob Harder, and this podcast should show up. We also encourage you, when you go on iTunes, let us know what you think. Give us a review. Give us a rating. We would love to hear what you think of this podcast, and your feedback will help us expand this podcast to get it out to as many people as we can. You can also go online to listen to this podcast, either nonprofitleadershippodcast.org or my website, robharder.com. Thanks again for listening. And until next time, keep making your world better.